Hey, because you get me all day. And so, guys, I'm glad that you're here. As you can tell, Pastor Todd, he is on a very well-deserved trip with his family. He's going on a cruise in Alaska. I've never been. I don't know if it's hot or cold. I don't know if there's grizzly bear attacks. I don't know how that goes, how that plans out. But he deserves this trip. And so whatever happens to him, he deserves it. And so I hope it's all good things, of course. And so, but we have a pastor that works very hard. And we don't have a pastor that's slack. We don't have a pastor that sits around and just, you know, golfs all day. Now, if you golf all day, more power to you. Invite our pastor. He needs to go golfing more often. Unless you're Ronnie Parton, do not invite him because he comes back depressed when he plays with you because apparently you're good. So if you suck at golf, please invite our pastor to go play golf with you so he can feel better about himself. But guys, I'm glad to be here today. I'm glad to step in and take this pulpit because I love talking to you guys. You know, I'm the executive pastor here, so what I get to do is a lot of the things are behind the scenes. I'm the business pastor. I deal with all the money and all the finances and stuff like that. And some of you think that's a really boring job. It's like a dream job for me. I love it. Any of you people love math out there? You like math people? You love, I love it. It is like my life is everything that I do. And so I'm glad they get to do that for you guys. But I want to make some announcements real fast. We didn't have the fancy video announcements, but I want to make some announcements. This past Wednesday was Teams Night. And so Teams Night is a night where everyone comes together and we get to just celebrate being a team. Everyone that serves here at the Church of the King. And you guys, raise your hand if you're on a serve team right here. Like you're on a serve team at some part or another. Man, thank you all for what you do. You guys make this church amazing. It's not because a pastor stands up here on a Sunday and preaches a good message or because a worship team comes up and they sing a great song. That's all. Those are all part of everything. But the man, the people that get out there and they shake the hands, they hug the necks, they wipe your baby's butts and they wipe their noses and do all those things that, you know, you just kind of just throw the kid in there and you're like, I hope they take care of them, you know? And we do take care of your children very well, I assume. And so, but it's because we're a team. It's because we're a team that this church, you know, is what it is. And I'm very, very thankful that we have a pastor that leads, but then he lets us lead as well. He lets us serve and be a part of this. He doesn't do everything himself. And so this week we got to celebrate our team that, you know, we have a trophy called a tota. And so it's like a garden frog with a lightsaber that someone spray painted gold. And apparently it used to be a bong or something. I do not know the history behind it, but we've sanctified it and brought it into our church. And we do not use it for its original purpose anymore, to my knowledge. But we award this to a team that is outstanding, that has done something great, and that we want to just, you know, give a hand clap to and everything. And is a picture going to come up? I don't know. This past Wednesday, we celebrated our AV team. And so this is what our AV team looks like. They're young. And so what they do is, man, they put all the lights on. They make this microphone come on. They do everything that, you know, necessarily that you don't see or understand. But when it doesn't work, you notice, I guarantee you that. When the microphone goes out or the lights get crazy or something and we all, like, stare back at that little tiny booth back there and we look at Taylor, we're like, you have 5 minutes to keep your job or this microphone better work. You know, stuff like that. You know, they take a lot of heat and they do a lot of really good things for our church. Let's give them a hand clap. They do an amazing job. And she works with like children back there, like small, like my kid who's like on the computer, like things I never knew what to do, but kids are much smarter than I was when I was their age. I don't know what I was doing at 10, but it definitely wasn't that. Another thing I want to talk about was, man, this past weekend, we had our Summer Blast, which is our VBS, which is our kids' weekend. All the kids from 4 to 11 or 12, they came to this church, and they got a party like no other. Like, we had minions everywhere. They had candy everywhere. They left full of the Word of God and candy and ice cream, whatever they ate, like pizza and nachos and everything like that. But man, we have an amazing kids team here. These kids, you know, part of my job is I get to oversee everything from the nursery to the college age kids. And so I get to see these kids do an amazing job. And the number one servants during that thing were teenagers. Your teenagers. You guys, we might not have the biggest youth group in town. We might not have the numbers, but I guarantee you we have the heart. And all of the kids here, man, they served these kids. They put on skits. They sang. They acted silly. They gave up their Saturday and Sunday to make sure that those kids got to know who God was, got to feel the presence of God, and invest into their lives. And it was absolutely amazing. And so I think that we actually have a little video of what happened. If we could play that, I would appreciate that. You got me. That's amazing. Give me a hand clap. This kid, look, it was 135 kids here, and it was crazy madness. It's like herding cats, but you know what? We get made through it, and we lost zero lives. In fact, we won people over to Jesus Christ, and kids got to meet Jesus for the very first time and got to recommit their lives, and they got to meet Jesus in new, interesting ways. And so I'm so thankful for the kids department. The very last thing I want to talk to you guys about is even greater. You guys, as the guy that's over all the finances here at the church, as that's my job as being that pastor, you know, I get to stand up here and say that we are moving forward, that we are having great progress. In fact, our old sanctuary that used to be our old sanctuary a while back has been completely gutted, and it's been refurbished. It's getting ready because we're about to knock out some walls over there at the kids department. We're about to level some floors. We're about to take down some lights, and we're going to make the kids department and that area and this lobby look absolutely amazing. Not because it's about the building, but we're a good steward of what God has given us, and we want everything to represent the glory of God and be able a great place for people to come and witness and experience God's glory and God's grace and God's mercy. And so thanks to you guys, because I've never been involved with a church campaign where the people are faithfully giving after the day that they committed to it. And so every single week we get the checks in the mail and the checks in the basket that is your commitment that you've made to this church, not only to this church, but to God, to make this the best place that people come and they experience God when they come here. And so that room has been completely redone. If you want to walk by, you can look in it. It's completely empty, so it won't take you long to look at it. Be like, oh, good, my money did a good job making this room look completely empty. But it's important because now all those kids are going to move in there. All the nursery kids are going to move in there. And for a while, it's going to be a little crazy. And so you're going to have to give us a little bit of grace. And if you don't want to, you don't really have to. We just won't listen to you complain about things. But like, as we go through this transition and things get a little dirty and things get a little messy, and you know, sometimes it might look a little crazy, but we're doing it all because we're following the vision that God has given not only our pastor, but our church. And as we follow that vision, sometimes it gets a little messy and sometimes it gets a little dirty. But in the end, when we're faithful, God is faithful to us and he will fulfill it. And so thank you guys for everything that you guys do and for the faithfulness that you guys have in giving to that campaign. And we haven't given up. That, you know, sometimes when you don't see things, you're like, what's my money actually doing? But you can go by, you can look in that room, and pretty soon you can start seeing construction signs and stuff like that. So just be ready for all that stuff. All right, so on to the message. It's only about 24 pages long, so you guys are good. If anyone wants to give me just a $100 bill, I'll just take the last page off, and you don't have to worry about make it real short. No? Nobody? It was blank anyway, so you'd have been a sucker. But today, we're going to continue Pastor Todd's series that he's been preaching about running with the giants. And what he's been doing is he's been telling us about all these great men and women of God we can read about in the Bible, and we can take from their lives things that will impart wisdom into our lives. And so the scripture verse that he's been using is Hebrews 12:1, where it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sins that so easily entangle, and let us run with perseverance the race he's marked out for us." Number one, I love the fact that Paul, when he writes this, he uses the word easy, the sin that easily entangles us. It makes me feel better about myself because, you know, sometimes we get tripped up by the little things, the small things. And so he lets it in saying, like, I understand. Sometimes it's an easy sin, and sometimes it's easy to trip over the small things. I like how he throws that in there. But he says, therefore, he opens up the verse with therefore sense. Therefore means he's talking about all of Hebrews 11. And what is Hebrews 11? Man, it lists all these people that God has given great vision to and great purpose to, and that he has been faithful to execute these plans through these people, and that we can use these examples of Jonah and of Deborah and all these people to change our lives. And, you know, as 2,000 years later comes along, you know, we can add more people to that. We can add some modern people to that list of people that are in heaven, that are cheering us on, that we can look at their lives and we can start to mold our lives and learn from their examples. And so we're going to continue talking about that, and we are going to talk about Mary. Is everyone ready? You guys ready for Mary? Six people are ready for Mary. The other people should have given me $100. It's okay. So Mary is oftentimes used or talked about only during Christmas and maybe Easter, but we need to talk about her today in July for a reason. And it's because we can relate to Mary. We can relate to Mary. Have you ever been part of a movie or watched, have you ever been part of a movie? Anyone been part of a movie? I don't want to know. Never mind. I don't know how that came out or who published it, but good job. Maybe you watched a movie or read a book, and you can really relate to the characters. You can relate to them, and you're like, man, I when I read this book, I just this person seems a lot like me. They seem like, you know, I can understand that person because their life is a lot like my life. And the Bible is meant to be read kind of the same way. As we read about these characters and stuff like that, we should be able to relate to them and say, man, I hook up with that character. I understand that. And with Mary, she's so normal. She's so easy to grab a hold of. But a lot of people treat her like she's a god. In fact, we're going to go over that real fast. A lot of people, a lot of different religions, they put Mary in a lot of different positions. And sometimes they pray to her, sometimes they pray through her, but they kind of end up treating Mary like a god. But the Bible, which is God's word, which is the truth in our life, doesn't say that about Mary. In fact, they says that Mary is just like you and I. She's simple. And she's normal, and the situation she goes through, we can relate to. And so when we talk about Mary, you might think, oh man, Mary is, just says mother of Jesus. I can't relate to Mary. Yes, that was the purpose and the calling, but she was a normal person who just said yes to what God had told her to do, and it turned out extraordinary for her. And we're going to learn how when God tells us and shows us these certain things in our lives, we have these moments that we call God moments in our lives, how you can go from just, yes, you're a normal, everyday person to doing extraordinary things for God. And so if you look in your notes, we're going to go and you take it out. It came in the little bulletin when you guys walked in. It says that when God asks you to do something outside your comfort zone, don't miss your God moment. The story of Mary is all about God moments. But we all have comfort zones. How many of you guys say that you have a comfort zone? How many of you guys would say, I like my bubble? I like the bubble that I have. I love my bubble. I love my comfort zone. It is a very nice and clean and orderly place. And, you know, it smells good and it looks good. And I love my bubble. No body of people have ever stretched me more in my comfort zone than this church. Why? Because when I came here, I didn't like people to like shake my hand and give me a hug. Now, I still don't like hugs a whole lot. I don't like the hugs when you hug someone, they like breathe you in. Have you had that person? They're like so happy to see you, but they like, I'm little, I'm short, there's not much to me. So when another man comes up to me, they're probably bigger than I am already. And so when they want to hug me, I'm either going on my toes and looking little silly, or my face is going into like their belly button and stuff like that. And so when they come up and they're really excited to see me, they give me a hug, and as they embrace you, they just like suck you in and like hold you, and you just feel like you become one with the person, and you just like go limp, and you're like, oh my gosh, what kind of church am I in? I'm so uncomfortable. It's so gross. He's breathing on me. And he lets you go, and you're just like, what do I, did I sin? Like, what happened? I don't even know what happened in my life. And they just love you, and they just, or they come up behind you, and they give you, like, the back rub. And some of you guys are like that. If you're like that, I'm not calling you out, but don't do it to me. And so, like, they come up behind you, and they just talk to you from behind, and they're, like, rubbing your shoulders. And you're just like, why are you rubbing my shoulders? And why am I liking it and falling asleep? Do I owe you money? Like, what happened? I don't even know. But, you know, just sometimes, you know, this body has stretched me and has popped my bubble, so to say, in a lot of different ways. But let me tell you this. As long as we are going to protect and defend our bubble and stay in our comfort zone, when you accept that and you protect that bubble, what you do is you reject people. What you do is you reject what God has called you to do. Because our lives are about getting outside of our comfort zone. When you find Jesus Christ, he comes into your life, you don't get to be in a bubble anymore. In fact, there's no bigger bubble popper than God to get you outside of your comfort zone. God's gonna ask you to do very uncomfortable things sometimes. And when we read the story of Mary, man, that it gets uncomfortable for Mary. It gets uncomfortable for Mary. And so the first blank in these God moments, as we go into these God moments, as we go into reach into Mary's life, the first blank that I want you guys to fill out is God moments often seem impossible. God moments often seem impossible. So Mary's story begins like this. She's very young. Luke introduces it to her, and we don't really know a backstory about Mary. We don't know, you know, where she comes from necessarily. We don't know how she was raised. We just know that she was young at the time. Some people say that she was about 14 years old and that she was engaged to be married. Now, this is a different time and different place, but I guarantee you that my 14-year-old daughter is not going to get married. And if she comes to me and says, Dad, I'm going to get married, it will involve me locking her in her room and shaving her head. And anything that makes her look pretty, she will not wear until she's at least 40. But this is a different time, a different place where a 14-year-old can be married. But she's still young. And she's 14. And it says that all of a sudden, an angel appeared. I want to stop her. Like, literally, how many of you guys are like, man, I would love to see an angel one day? I'm like, that's you. Raise your hand. Good. Y'all can see him all you want. He says, suddenly an angel appeared. If this was my life, this is the story of Tom, and it was in the Bible, it would look a lot different already. It would be like, because Mary receives this angel, and it's very graceful, and it, like, talks to it, and they have this, like, conversation in the kitchen or wherever she is. Not that all women belong in kitchen. I'm just assuming that it happened in the kitchen. I'm moving on. Sorry. So she had it in the living room while lounging. I don't know what happened. But, like, all of a sudden, an angel appears to her. If it was my story, it would be like, and Tom freaked out and screamed like a girl and punched the air and promptly passed out on the floor. Because that's how it would go down. Angels just suddenly show up in your room. Then everyone's like, I want to see an angel. I want to see heaven. I don't mind it if we could ease me into it. This was said suddenly. I don't want don't come up in my house and be popping up and like, boom, angel. Knock on the door. Ring a doorbell. Send an invite card. Do something. Don't just show up. But with Mary, not that it'd make it any better, but with Mary, it said suddenly an angel appeared. And this is what the scripture says in Luke 1:31-33. The angel said this to her. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Okay. That's easy to read. But imagine and put yourself into a situation, Mary, 14, young, engaged, all of a sudden the angel pops up and says, hey, you're going to have a kid without being married. And you're going to call him Jesus, and he's going to have a kingdom, and he's going to reign forever. Man, nothing seems more impossible in her God moment than what this angel's telling her. God moments often seem impossible, like, hey, build an ark. Hey, you're going to have a baby. Hey, go ahead and kill that giant. Go into all the world. God moments, oftentimes, they seem impossible. But we know through Mary and through this story that she also thought it was impossible because it's written down. And she says this, she says, how can this be? Oftentimes when God comes to you within God moment, he tells you the things that he wants to tell you and they seem impossible. Our first reaction is always going to be, man, how could this be? How can this be what you want me to do? How can this be what you want me to do? But I have right here, it says, God moments should blow your mind. They should be bigger than anything you can understand because God is bigger than us and greater than us. Therefore, his plans are bigger than us and greater than us. And those plans will be something that we don't understand and something that we think is impossible. I hope that God never gives me the things that I can understand and the tasks that I can do in my own abilities and my own strength. And I hope that his purpose for me never fits into my small realm of understanding. When God shows up, I want it to be bigger than me. I want it to be greater than me. I want it to be above my understanding because I don't want to restrict God to what the things that I know. And this is what happens with Mary. Someone shows up right in front of her and says, this is what you're going to do. And it seems absolutely impossible. Impossible. Bigger than her and greater than her. And she says, how can this be? How can it be, you might say, can I open my house to foster kids? How can it be if I quit my job and start a ministry? How can it be if I go into the jails and reach out to prisoners? How can it be that I host a small group? How can it be that I start a business when I didn't even go to school? How can I do these things that you've called me to do, Lord? How can I do these things? Your God moment may seem impossible, but in the end, Mary's response should be our response. In Luke 1:38, she said, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in my life. Your God moment may seem impossible, and it will seem impossible. If God's really speaking to you, and he's really sharing something with you, it's going to seem impossible. But we have this right. We have to say this. At the end of the day, I'm your servant, Lord. May what you say happen in my life. Yes, I don't understand. And yes, it seems impossible. But that's what I need. Later on in life, Jesus was walking around doing impossible things, saying impossible things, preaching impossible messages and promising impossible promises. And people were always asking him, like, what's going on? Like, how can you even say these things? Everything seems so impossible. He says this in Mark 10:27. Yes, with man, these things seem impossible. But for God, all things are possible. Now today, as Christians, now we live 2,000 years plus later. We walk around and we should be doing the things and saying the things and preaching the things that seem impossible. We should be going into people's lives and letting God speak through us and bring the impossible to people. And they're going to say to you, like they said to Christ, how are these things even possible for you? How are they possible for me to do? How can I do the things that you say that God wants me to do? How can I do the things that God is asking me to do? And your response should be as Jesus said. Man, with man, it is impossible. Yeah, if you do it by yourself, yeah, it's going to be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We now get to walk around bringing the impossible things to people and showing them that, yes, they're impossible to you, but they're completely possible for my God. The second blank says this. It says, when God moments come, just say yes. When God moments come, just say yes. So I've heard it said many times that the best word that people can use in their life or in certain situations is the word no. And it's true. There are many times and many things that we can say no to, and it will help us manage our lives and live a better life. Some people, I'm not saying this person's me, might not be strong enough to say no to certain people or certain situations, and so they send their wife in to do it for them. Like I said, that might not be me, but I'm the type of person, when you come to me and you say, hey, this is, I want to do this, can I do this? And my first response is like, yeah, sure. And then I go find my wife and I'm like, baby, you got to go tell them no. Like, we can't do that. And she's like, I know. And I make my wife maybe say no a little bit for me on occasion here and there. But she's better at it than I am. How many of y'all have wives that are really good at saying no? I'll admit, she's just better at it than I am. But we have learned in this society that there are some things that we should say no to that make your life better. We say no to things to save time, to give up, to make sure that we have our full attention on something else, perhaps something that we think is more important. We say no to things to lighten our load. We say no to things just to keep ourselves away from certain people or certain situations. We say no. We're empowered to say no. But when God moments come into your life, this is a God moment that happens in your life, and you're presented with what God can do in your life, you must say yes. You must say yes. And you're going to feel the urge to justify using the word no. You might say, I don't have time, God. I know that none of you say these things to God because you're very respectful people. But you may say, no, I don't have time to do the things that you said. No, I don't like so-and-so that you're asking me to work with or be around. You might say no, that you're too busy. You might say no, you're too young, you're too old, you're too white, you're too black, you're too rich, you're too poor, you're too unknowing, you're too smart, you're too Democrat, you're too Republican. There's a lot of different reasons why you can say no to what God has called you to do. And I think the major problem that we have today is we think that God cares about those things. We think that God cares about those things. We think that God is too polite to inconvenience us or ask us to do something that we just don't have time for, that we think that we justify saying no to. But let me tell you this, God will inconvenience you, and it will be at the worst time, and it will seem beneath you, and he cares little, very little about those things. All he wants you to do is say yes. All he wants you to do is say yes. To say, you are my Lord and I am your servant, just like Mary answered. Mary had every reason, listen to me. She had every reason to say no when God showed up. When the angel showed up and said, hey, you're going to have a kid and all this stuff. She had every reason to say no to this insane God moment in her life. But she had no right to refuse. She had every reason to say no to God. But she had no right. She had no right. Because she chose to make God the Lord of her life. She chose to be a servant to God. When we choose God as our Lord and master of our life, we might have a lot of reasons to say no to God and to the God moments that happen. And they're going to happen. And you're going to think you're justified in saying no. You might have a lot of reasons that you want to say no to God. But you have no right. Because you made him the Lord and the master of your life. And as a Lord and master, you are a servant. And our job is to say yes. However, when we accept Christ into our life, oftentimes we forfeit our rights. Even the American ones. We humble ourselves and pick up our cross and submit ourselves to the Lord of the kingdom of God. And it's hard for some people. And then maybe not you. Maybe it's just me. But a lot of times I feel very prideful. or justified in what I say. I don't have time. If they only knew my schedule. But does God really want me to do that? Let me pray about it. When God shows up in your life and he tells you the thing that you're to do and you have that God moment, you don't got to pray about it. Mary didn't go home and pray about it after the angel showed up and said, you're going to have these things. Mary said, yes, may your will be done in my life. The next blank said, your God moment will open the door for God's best in your life. You see, Mary said yes. And when she said yes, it allowed her to receive God's best in her life. To receive God's best in her life. Mary knew that saying yes means everyone around her will see her in a different light. When Mary said yes to God, she knew that the people in the town were going to talk about her and they're going to shun her. When Mary said yes to God, she knew that the church would want to discipline her, which in that time means that they would want to kill her. Mary knew that when she said yes to God, that her husband-to-be would probably flip a lid, and he had every right to do so. You show up and you say, I'm pregnant. By the way, I didn't mess around. I'm not having an affair. God gave me that baby. Okay. Her family was going to disown her. Saying yes to God looks like it's going to bring destruction on your life. It looks like it's going to be the worst thing you could do. It looks like it's going to be the end of your life as you know it. But saying yes to God really does bring blessings and God's best into your life. See, Mary went and she went and she saw her cousin, Elizabeth. And when she got there, it says that she greeted her like this. So she's going to visit her family, and I'm assuming that Mary probably thinks that her family is going to be rude to her. They're not going to want to talk to her. Like, they're going to shun her. Like, here comes this lady that everybody's talking about. Here comes big old pregnant Mary. We know how she got that baby. She's telling everyone it was God, but we know it was really Josephus, whoever the guy was around the corner back then. And so she goes, and it takes a lot, but she said yes to God, and so she's bearing the weight of this burden. She's thinking, man, my life, God, I want the best. And this is how she was greeted. She said, Elizabeth said this to her, blessed are you among women, and blessed is your child that you will bear. It goes on to say that she says, blessed is she who believes that the Lord will fulfill her promises. Instead of being cursed and abandoned and rejected by saying yes to God, instead Mary was blessed, 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 three times blessed when she went to the places that she went. Because God's best was for her, because she said yes. Because she said yes. She understood this, that simple obedience to God will always result in uncommon blessings. Will always result in uncommon blessings. Will always result in uncommon blessings by just saying yes. Man, God moments can be very overwhelming. They can be very hard to bear. But when we understand that, yes, they're going to be seem impossible, and we have to say yes to God because we're his servants, the blessings that come onto our lives because of that are absolutely amazing. When we have these impossible moments where God says, I need you to trust me and be obedient, we get to stand in confidence knowing that the simple act of obedience is going to change our lives forever. And not for the worse, but for God and for the better. So let's turn the page over. What are we learning from this? How do we have these God moments? That's a great story, Pastor Tom, about God and about, oh, look at that. Okay, there's this little bug right there. Great story about these God moments in Mary. And this is a Bible story, and that's great. But how do I have these in my life? I've been a Christian for a long time, and I don't know if I've ever had these God moments happen to me. It's good that you get up there and share this story, but how does it relate to me? How do I have God moments? This is what I think Mary would tell us. Number one, stay connected to God. Stay connected to God. Man, we should take time to worship God. when you have a God moment and it seems impossible and you say yes to this thing, man, you better take time and you better stay connected to God. You want to have a God moment in your life? You want to have God move in your life? You better stay connected to him. How do you expect to hear anything from someone that you don't even spend time with? I wish God would talk to me. I wish God would show up. I wish God would just move in my life. I wish an angel would show up to me and give me these things. But what is your time like with God? Do you do it? Do you have it? You want to have God moments in your life? You want God to change your life? And you want to be used for God in amazing ways? Man, you better stay connected to God. You better stay connected to him. Jesus said this. He said in John 15:5, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, then you'll bear fruit. But apart from me, you will do nothing. You want to have God moments in your life? You want to have the story like Mary. Man, you better stay connected to God. We better worship God. Give him your time. In a world where everything seems to take up a little bit here and there of your time, whether it be Facebook, Pokemon Go. I know you're out there, Pokemon, right now. Kids, jobs, spouses. A lot of things take up your time. A lot of things make you, at the end of the day, lay down on your couch and say, "Pooh, I am busy." But when we as Christians are too busy to have a relationship with God, we disconnect from the very reason why he's even called us. And that's to be in a relationship with him. We need to make time, guys. You want to see God move in your life? You want to see answer to the prayers that you've been praying? You want to have these God moments? You want to have God come down and speak this impactful and powerful vision into your life? Man, you better spend time with him. And you better worship him. I'm glad we get to come on Sundays, and I'm glad we're led for four songs, and we worship him for 20 minutes or 25 minutes. And sometimes we think that's all we have to do on a Sunday. That's all we got to do in our relationship is show up on a Sunday and praise God for 25 minutes a week, and that's all we got to do. And you get in your car, and you can do whatever you want. You can get to your job and say whatever you want. But we as Christians need to have more God moments. We need to have more moments when God comes down and says, look at me, this is what I need you to do in your life. But the only way we're going to get there is by staying connected to that God. Through his word. Through prayer. Through worship. And it's going to take your time. The next one says, stay connected to your purpose. Stay connected to your purpose. A lot of times we have these moments in our lives where God tells us, and we have these like encounters with God. And for a couple days, man, that we're on a high, right? Like, God told me this. Walk around, I mean, man, you are so excited. But as time wears on and that moment passes into remembrance and from remembrance into just, you know, you forget about it. You forget that God ever told you something. You forget that God gave you a promise. You forget that God gave you a purpose. Man, we have to stay connected to that purpose. We got to remind ourselves why we're doing what we're doing. We got to remind ourselves that God has given you a purpose. If I'm not here for any other reason than this, I want you to hear this. God has a purpose and a plan for every single person here. And you say, Pastor Tom, you don't even know me. How can you say that? Because I know God. I know the word of God. You're not useless. You're not horrible. You're not unlovable and untouchable. But you don't know. I mean, I used to be on fire for God. And I used to be, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that. But like as I met resistance or as I did all these different things, you mean, I just forgot. I just got tired of fighting for it. I got tired of doing the things that God has asked me to do. We get weary in our well-doing, and we forget. We disconnect from that purpose that God has for us. But if we connect back to that purpose, if we connect back to that promise that God has given us, it will recharge us. It says down here in the book of 2 Timothy, it says, fan the flames. Fan the flames. Fan the flames. Remember the things that God told you. Get excited again about God. Connect back to the purpose that God has for you. Fan the flames of that hope that was once inside of you to change a world. And someone's come and blown on your fire and it went out. But I believe that there's a small ember in there that just needs a little bit of fanning to build it back up. Stay connected to your purpose. Stay connected with people who encourage you. Mary went to her cousin Elizabeth to get encouragement. It says in Hebrews 10, it says, don't give up. Meeting together and coming together. People always have the best way of discouraging you. Have you ever had like something really great happen in your life and you go tell somebody and like they just like don't think it's as great as you thought it was? You're like, oh man, this is what's happened in my life. And they're like, that's great for you. Well, listen to what's happened in my life. And when you leave, you're like, oh my gosh, I feel horrible. People can suck the joy of God straight out of you. But there's people who are meant to encourage you. And man, I hope and I pray and I know that this church is full of people who encourage one another, who build each other up. And a lot of times what happens is in our life, we can find ourselves disconnected from God and disconnected from our purpose. And the very next step that we take is we disconnect ourselves from church and from the very people that encourage us to stay grounded in God. Because we think, man, we've done something that they don't want to know about. We've done something that they don't want to hear about, or they may already know about and they don't want to see me anymore. Or we think we're too far gone for our God moment to even matter anymore. But when you get around people who encourage you, who get you to speak again about the God that you love, to get you to speak again about the purpose that God has for you, when you get around people who encourage you, who build you up in the things of God, who fan that flame inside of you, man, you leave out of there and you can take over the world. But you got to continually find yourself around those people because the world is looking to take that joy away from you. Is looking to take that purpose away from you. Is looking to take and steal that thing away from you. We should surround ourselves with people who encourage and build us up. And the last thing, if they want to come out and play the piano, if not, I can play the piano. It's going to suck, but nobody? Gotcha. Don't worry about it. I'll just get on the drums. I'm going to read this verse to you before I fill the blank in. It says, I hear him like scrambling and running. So like Pastor Tom said, he's ready for me. Good job, Miranda. Play something real spiritual now. It's usually like minor keys and stuff. We're waiting. We're waiting to be spiritual. You can't breathe? You got to breathe to move your hands? All right. Oh, so spiritual. Did you feel it? You're important. Let me encourage you. You're important. She's literally physically going to hurt me when I get off the stage. She can because she's stronger than I am. Let me read this verse to you. John 19, 25 through 27. Jesus' mother, his aunt, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene, stood at the foot of the cross. Jesus saw his mother and his disciple, who he loved, standing near to her. Okay, John wrote his own book, and he wrote the disciple who he loves. He's kind of self-promoting himself there. When I write my book, it's going to be like, Tom, the disciple that God loved. Believe me, it'll be all over there. But Jesus, hanging on a cross, looks down and sees his mother and these family members and John, and he says this, he says, woman, here is your son. Woman, here's the promise that God has given you. Woman, look at your God moment hanging on this cross and dying. Mother, look at your son. And she looks up there and she sees her son. This God moment promise fulfilled in her life. And he looks at his disciple and says, here's your mother. And from that moment on, John took care of Mary as his own mother. But Mary had to have something in mind. She had to stay connected to the bigger picture. She had to stay connected to the bigger picture. Because though God promised her a son and that she would have a son and name him Jesus, that went on to say that, but he's going to reign forever in a kingdom. And she's looking up at this promise and saying, God, how is this to be? And he looks down and says, your job as my mother is over. Your job as my mother is over. You're faithful to bring me into this world. But my role's not over. And she had to embrace the fact that she was never going to be his mother again. She was never going to be able to reach out to him and give him a hug the way that she used to encourage him the way that she used to show up the way that she used to be there. All of a sudden, the role has changed in her God moment. But she has to stay connected to the fact that, yes, she loves the fact that she's his mother, but the purpose was not just to be his mother, but was so that that promise would go on and do what it was intended to do, and that was to save you and me. You see, a lot of times what happens is we get these God moments into our lives and we keep them in this stage of small and connected to us. We can micromanage them. But there's a bigger picture in what God's called you to do. And in order for us to do what God has called us to do, we're going to have to let some things go. In order to do the things that God has called us to do, it always requires a sacrifice. And here's Mary, who is called by God to raise this son, and here he is being sacrificed right before her eyes. But she did it, and she sacrificed because she knew the bigger picture. It wasn't about having a son. It was about bringing in the Savior of the world. We have to understand the bigger picture of what God's called us to do. And when it comes time for it, and you're at that moment, and all of a sudden you're like, I'm about to lose this God moment in my life. My son's about to walk out the door. My husband's about to walk out the door, but God, you promised me this thing. And I'm looking at it, it looks different. My finances are negative, but you promised me I'd be blessed and that you'd give me money. You promised me these things, God, but I don't see it and it's dying in front of you. It does not negate the fact that God has promised you that and that he's faithful and he's just to fulfill those promises in your life. It just means that you have to sacrifice it to God. The story of me and my wife is this. I walked out on her. And know what she did? She hit her knees. And she prayed and she said, God, take him as low as you can, but spare his life because I know that you have a bigger plan for him. And it's not about me holding on to him. It's not about me understanding what's going on. But I believe the impossible things, and no matter where he goes, I know that you have a bigger picture for him. And she let me walk out that door. And God took me, changed my life. In the moment that she got pregnant when she was in high school, and she had twins inside of her stomach, and God told her, put these up for adoption. And gave her a list of things that these parents are gonna have. And she's seeking these things. Very hard to find. I know my wife. The list was nigh impossible before you even add God into it. And she was hanging on to this promise. And she gave birth to these two beautiful children. And it came time for her to make a decision to let those things go, to let those two girls go, because she knew the bigger picture. And to this day, we can see them, and they're doing great things for God, mighty things for God. And everything that was on her list, everything that God promised her, was fulfilled, because she chose to not hang on to it in that moment when she could have said, I'm keeping them. She said, I'm giving them. Mary said, I'm giving it. There's going to come a time in your God moment where you're just going to have to sacrifice what you know to be best for what God knows to be true. And it's hard. And I think a lot of you guys are there right now, if I'm honest with you. And you're like, Pastor Tom, I want God's best for my life, but it's hard for me to surrender that to God. It's hard for me to watch this happen with that. You want a God moment in your life? You want God to move? You want to see change in your life like you've never seen before? And we got to let some things go. We've got to let some things go. And you're not going to understand why he walked out the door. You're not going to understand why you have to put him up for adoption. You're not going to understand why your son doesn't return your phone calls. You're not going to understand why the bank doesn't stop calling you. You're not going to understand why. But if God gave you a promise, if God gave you a promise, you hang on to that promise like there is nothing else, and you say, God, I give it to you. Take it. Do with it what you will, but fulfill the promise that you've given to me in my life. I want everyone to just bow your head and close your eyes. This is the moment. Look, you came to church for a reason. You needed something today. You showed up for a reason. This is it. This is your moment. If you say, Pastor Tom, what you're speaking to me right now, though it's hard to hear, man, that's me. There's some things that God has promised me, but I've held on to them too tight, and I haven't given them over to God. But today I choose to give those things over to God to see God's will fulfilled in my life. If that's you, I want to see your hand. Just raise your hand. We're going to pray for you. Raise it. Look, there's hands everywhere. Put your hands down. If you're here and you say, Pastor Tom, you know, you talk about God and all these different things about God, and, you know, I've never taken the moment to actually accept God into my life. You said when he becomes Lord of your life, I have no idea what that means. Look, today I want to give you a very unique opportunity. I want to invite God to come into your life forever. And when God comes into your life changes. You become a different person. You become a better person. The road isn't always easy. In fact, it's oftentimes much harder when you accept Christ into your life. So when I give the invitation, I don't want you just to raise your hand, just to raise your hand. I want you to commit in your heart that this journey is a journey where it's going to be God-focused. But if you say, Pastor Tom, I have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of my life, but I want to do it today. I want to make that change today. I want you to raise your hand up in the air. And lastly, if you're here and you say, man, my life has been crazy. My life has been something of a mess. I started off on the right path, but I have no idea where I got. I got from the wrong exit. Now I'm like downtown Houston and it's scary. My life is crazy. But I want God back in my life. And today I want to recommit my life to Christ. I want to recommit my life to God so that he becomes the Lord. So I say yes to those God moments, and I can move in the impossible things, and God can do great things in my life. If that's you, you say, Pastor Tom, I want to recommit my life to God today. I want you to raise your hands. Everywhere. Look. Gosh, it's good. Put your hands down. Everyone look at me. It's not about the words that I'm going to pray over you that matter. It's about the condition of your heart that matters. You know what you need. You know what you want. You know why you're here. You know what you raise your hand for. So though I'm going to pray something in a minute, where you are in your heart and with your mouth, pray by yourself. Pray to God and reach out to God, because it's not me that's going to get you there. It's you that's going to get you there. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for today. Lord, this is a day that you have made. Father God, I thank you for your promises. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your God moments that are happening all over this room. God, right now, I ask that people are able to give the things up that they need to give up, to sacrifice the things they need to sacrifice so that your will can be done in their life, so that they can have a testimony about the good things that you are doing. But give them the strength and give them the ability to release some things to you, even the things that you promised to them, they hang tight onto. Let them release those things, Father God, so that you can finish the work that you've started in them, so that you can be counted as faithful, so you can get the glory, so that your name reigns on high, Father God. And Lord, for the people here who want to accept you as Lord of their life, they don't do that in a way that is easy, but it's with a humble heart. Well, I pray that they reach up, they find your grasp. They find your grasp. As Christians, God, you know how we walk, and sometimes we get crazy and we get lost and we get tied up in a world. And when we look at ourselves, we're like, look in the mirror, we're like, this is not the person I know that I'm supposed to be. But today, God, we as a people, we as a church, whether we raise our hand or we didn't raise our hand, Father God, we commit that you are the Lord of our lives, that you are the God who is above all gods, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Lord, you reign forever. We trust you. Give us what we need as we give you our lives. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. One minute, guys. We're going to have an opportunity to give. And at this church, you know, we don't give just to the sake of giving. Like, if you're just giving just because you're like, you know, whatever. This is what I do. Man, we want it from their heart. And this body gives from the heart. There are people in this body that give sacrificially every single week. And I want to thank you for everything that you guys do. So if you want to get that out and get it ready, we're going to take time to do that. And as you guys are getting that out, I want to talk about a couple of different things. We were in the lobby out there. You saw a table. It had like pretty teacher looking things on it. Like you know, teacher graphics and stuff. It's because a teacher put it together. It's our back to school table. What has happened is we have purchased everything a student needs to go back to school. Backpacks, pencils, pens, notebooks. There's other things in there that I don't know. Oh man, I almost wore that shirt, Rustin. Thank God I didn't. It was a completely different shape. Anyway, looks good though. Everything you need for school. We've done it. Like, you've done it. You've already done it. But what we want is we're asking that you sponsor a kid. And for $30, you buy that whole backpack. You buy that backpack. And it gets prayed over. It gets prayed over every single day. But you can go out there and you can help these kids have a great school year. Because look, a lot of kids, they might not be looking forward to school. Some of the parents are like, amen, school's about to start. Back in the routine. I can pay for lunch instead of making lunch now. But some of these kids aren't looking forward to school. And they don't look forward to school just because of the homework sometimes. They don't look forward to school because they're bullied there. Because they have things that they face on a daily basis that you and I honestly don't even know. They're bombarded with the world. And so what we want to do is we want to bless these kids and pray for these backpacks and put the word of God over them. So when they go into those schools, which are war zones basically, that man, they come out on top. The next thing I want to talk about before I pick it up is I want to talk about Grow Step 4. Right after our second service, we have Grow Step 4. It's in here. It's about connecting with your purpose. It's about finding your purpose. Not only find your purpose here at this church, but find your purpose in life. And so Grow Step 4, what it does is you get a way to find out who, like different departments in this church. How do I get plugged in? How do I find my way? Like in this big old church, how do I do this? And so Grow Step 4 helps you meet these people, shake some hands, and get encouraged to do that kind of thing. The very last thing I want to talk about as you guys stand up, as we're about to give, you guys can stand up, is this. Is this yesterday when it was 100 million degrees outside? If you saw KPLC, man, we had a thing downtown for Pokemon Go. Ushers, you can come up. Prayer people, you guys come up. The prayer people come up too. We had Pokemon Go outreach. I don't know if that's the name of it. It probably wasn't the official name of it. It's probably something cooler. But what we did is we handed out water and food and snacks to these people that were out there Pokemon, because they were already going to be out there. And look, in a world of diversity, in a world that is crazy separated by different things, you can go downtown at any time and you find a whole bunch of people that don't even care what you look like, what you smell like, and they are just mingling up Pokemon and going. And so we went out there and we spread the word of God through love and through compassion. And so we were able to do that, and it was absolutely amazing. And so I want to give a hand clap to Liz and to Ryan for heading that up. They did a great job. And they made it on the news, and it's great. You guys, was today a good day? Is today a good day? Come on, it is a great day to be alive and love God. Look, I'm gonna pray for the offering, and then they're gonna pray a song. I don't want you to run out of here. Look, this song is still for you. You might still need to worship. This song is still for you, so don't run our ushers over as you're going down. You're like, you give, and you sprint, and you knock our ushers over. It's crazy. And so I'm gonna pray over the offering, then we're gonna be dismissed. Father God, I thank you for today, Lord. This is the day that you have made. Lord, bless the offering as these people give on their hearts, Father God. Multiply it, put it to good use, Father God, and bless these people as they go out into this world. May they be a shining light of hope to the hurting world. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said, amen.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. He's coming back again. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection.
Amen. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you guys next week.